thing. I will come to many more of you as the night goes on, but in a happy, jolly way. The look of fear in your eyes, the look of complete, almost disgust, by the way. I could go along the road, I could do that for anyone, I could be nice and mean and have fun with everyone, you could go on all night. But there is one thing that has changed about that eternal dialogue, right? Which is that for the first time, you can now turn to me and go, oh, darn. What do you do for a living? And I go, well, I'm a comedian who works for the BBC. And you can go, ah, a tax-avoiding paedophile. Thank you, Jimmy and Jimmy, for that particular addition to my life. That was always a joy. By the way, I'm not going to go on about any of that stuff, the Savile stuff, the, oh, God, all that hideous stuff. Only to make one observation, that every so often when these people were brought in front of a judge, these bad people who'd done bad things, right, there's the only weird echo for this generation. They'd walk them in front of the judge, and the judge would look at them and go, you. And they would always say something along the lines of, you used your showbiz success to impress young women. And every comedian hears that and goes, Jesus, is that against the law now? Because that is all I got. If you take that away from me, I am left with this. And frankly, that did not work during my teens. They don't take away the one thing I've got, right? By the way, one thing that has changed is I'm a little, obviously, older than I was, right? Because I'm 43 now, which means that I feel like I'm a full generation older than people in the audience, 18, 20, whatever. Any young men in the audience, particularly in the front row, any young men? What age are you, champ? 22, different generation, man. Different generation to me. And like, and your attitudes towards things that I've had to live through that you've simply grown up with absorbing, right? Digital technology, all that kind of stuff. You're like from a different world. I'm thrilled that you can get something out of this and you're enjoying that. That's fantastic to me. Can I use you as an ambassador for all young men, though? Is that okay? That's grand. Can I give a tiny piece of advice to you from an older man to a younger man? I've seen what you guys do and all that. Just a tiny, just a little smidgen of advice just to bear with on the great journey through life. Could you, for 5 minutes, just for 5 minutes, stop sending photos of your cock to people? Will that be all right? Just 5 minutes, that's all we ask. Like a tiny moratorium on the dick pics. Just from the rest of us going, oh, geez, I've no need to see that. I wasn't looking for this. I was looking for your contact details for the job you've just interviewed for. Could you please, do you have them? Oh, certainly do. Click, click. They're on the back of that. It is just too much, right? Just general, and also, and filming yourselves. What is with filming yourselves doing naughty things? For God's sake, I get it. It's tempting. Oh, let's capture the moment. Let's capture the beautiful act of Congress as we created. Oh, you and I, so beautiful. Let's make a record of it with our phone or our iPad. Are you mad? Stop filming yourself doing filthy things with digital technology, because it will go onto the cloud, and if somebody knows the name of your first pet, they will break in and steal your pornography, right? If you're going to film yourself doing naughty things, don't go digital. Do what I do. Use an old cine camera. There's nothing sexier than the as you're watching it back. It's classy, it's elegant, it's timeless, it's silent, it's black and white. I've got a little mustache. She's tied to the railway lines. I mean, it's just classy, sexy. There is a thing, there's just people, privacy is a thing that there's a generation, your own generation, have dumped to a huge, greater or lesser extent. Everything goes on Facebook, everything is known about everyone, and we're sure it's all out there for everyone to view. That is not the way I live, and it's not a way I just think it's a ridiculous thing to give up. You know me, right? But you don't know my family. I don't appear in Hello magazine, in my home, all this kind of rubbish, right? I don't do any of that. The BBC have repeatedly asked me to do that show, Who Do You Think You Are? Do you know the one I mean? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, the one, sorry, for those of you who don't, it's a genealogy show where they track through the earlier generations of your family, you know, to find out what stories created your family history. No way am I ever going in that. Partly in a kind of a, ah, Jesus, no, right? But also in a kind of a, there is no way that, like, half the time they go to people and they ask them to do this, they come back to them 3 weeks later and go, listen, we've just done some preliminary research into your family, and can we just say, oh, You, oh, what a life you have led. But your family, Jesus, nothing has happened in your family for 7 generations. We have gone back to the 1801 census, and it is dung farmers the entire way down the line, right? And I suspect that would happen to me. The O'Briens are just very ordinary stock from a place called Bray, County Wicklow in Ireland. You go back a couple, good stuff, very, very good. Go back a couple of generations, we're just like, you know, we're working on the railways, nothing particularly exotic there. My mother's family, the Himmlers, again, nothing really exceptional, no. stories, no papers, no photographs. Really, a surprising lack of any documentation at all. I remember saying this to my grandmother once, Großmutti Himmler. Warum are there no papers or documents? And she would just look at me and goes, what is with all the questions? We are simple farming people from County Mayo. Why can't you simply accept that? Oh, cabaret, oh, cabaret, oh, cabaret. The other reason I could never do that show is because you have to cry at some stage. You've never seen me cry on the telly, lads. It's not my thing to cry on the telly. I find that this is why I do shows at 10 o'clock on BBC Two, right, or science shows or these kind of things. You never see me hosting the X Factor or something, standing next to the 15-year-old who's just been eliminated, you know? I'm just not built for it. This is not in me. I'd be there going, oh, you're very sad. Oh, there you go. Boo-hoo now. Boo-hoo. Oh, Mammy, you're crying. Why are you crying? It can't be a surprise to you. Come on, you can hear her, for Christ's sake. Did she sound like the official soundtrack album to Frozen? No, she didn't. Let it go, pet. There's a message. I want to talk to you about the brain, right? And I am aware, by the way, that when I talk about the brain, I am by no means the most qualified person in a vast room of people to discuss this as an issue, right? There'll be somebody in this room who will be a neuroscientist or a neurologist or a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Is there anyone here who works properly in that field with the brain? Okay, first woman who shouted there, what do you do?
Meningitis.
You research meningitis, but in what field? Are you like a biochemist or are you a neuroscientist? What are you? You're a doctor, okay. You don't count for this, right? You get enough love, right? Okay, who shouted over here? There we go, fantastic. Good to have you here, well done. Congratulations, you. The brain is an incredible thing, isn't it? Thank you very much, that's all I need. That is literally almost all I need off you. Just, yes, it is, isn't it, though? It's an amazing thing. It's unlike other organs of the body, you know? I mean, the lungs, you can feel them expanding, you can feel the heart beating. You don't have to open up the knee to see what the knee does, right? But the brain is really intractable. It's very difficult to see the brain functioning, right? To image it as it actually does what it does, right? Even historically, we didn't know what different regions of the brain did unless shit went hideously wrong. Right. There's a very famous story in the psychological sciences about a man called Phineas Gage. Have you heard of Phineas Gage?
Yeah.
Loads of you heard of it. Phineas Gage worked in the railways in America in the 1840s, 1850s. His job to pin down the railway lines using metal spikes that he would fire into the ground using explosive bolts, right? And one day Phineas is doing this job and he's arranging all of his spikes when one of the bolts went off, shot the spike up. The spike entered Phineas behind his chin, traveled through his head and partially came out the top of his head. So he had a spike traveling through his head. Doctors managed to remove it and Phineas survived. But doctors noted that after the accident, he was noticeably more hostile. And they said that the reason for this is because he damaged the frontal lobes of his brain, and maybe this was the region of his brain that served to damp down violent mood swings. And you're going, oh, maybe. Or maybe it's because a fucking spike just got shot up the back of his face, and now he can't eat steak. I mean, there's many competing pills. And even things that we take for granted or that we use all the time, like our memory. We don't have a full working theory of how memories are laid down or how, if different memories are stored in different ways. And by different memories, I'll illustrate. I was recently going to the shops. I had a list of things to buy, and I was at the door where my wife goes, we need bread. And I'm there going, I don't have a pen on me to put bread onto the list, but don't you worry, it's in there. I have put it in here. I have put bread into my head. Don't you worry, honey, it is in there, right? Now, obviously, I made an arse of it, right? I fecked it up, right? I didn't put bread into the short-term task-solving part of my memory. I put bread into a different region of my memory, a region known as the wank bank. So I came back without any bread. But more disturbingly, later that evening, I had a very strange dream about a sandwich. 50-50, you're a naughty bread, aren't you? 50-50. What are you? Are you brown bread or white bread? I can't tell. You're a dirty teasing bread. A dirty, dirty bread. Sorry. I'm going to give you another buzzkill, just for the sheer hell of it. I'm going to give you another buzzkill, just at the point where we're all having a bit of fun. We collectively, and again, this is not a gag, we collectively are running out of helium, right? Because you can't make helium, you can't manufacture helium. Helium is like, it's a noble gas. You just find it underground when people go mining, and you hold on to it really carefully when you bring it up. Because if you let go of it, it fucks off into space. That is how light helium is. Helium, vump, achieves escape velocity, and then it's gone. And we can't use it for the things we use helium for, right? Which would be like MRI scanners and things like that, right? Which means, where's my young friend here, I'm just going to bring him away. My young 22-year-old friend, right? At some point, right, when you're a lot older, I'll be dead. I'll be long gone, my friend. But you, at some point, you're going to go to the doctor in like 60 years' time, which is when this crisis is going to really kick in. And you're going to go to the doctor and go, I need an MRI. I need an MRI. And the doctor's going to go, oh, do you? Oh, do you need an MRI? Is that what you need? Is this? You need an MRI? You need an MRI. Do you need an MRI? Yes. Let me tell you about your MRI. Do you remember the day you were at the beach when you were a little lad? Remember the day you were at the beach and you're eating your ice cream and you go, yum, 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 oh, lick, 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 yum, 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 yum. You were done lovely ice cream, yum, 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 lovely ice cream. But you leaned forward and the ice cream fell out of the cone into the sand and it was ruined. And you started to cry. But your dad saved the day because he bought you a special balloon. A special balloon that you had to tie around your wrist because it kept bobbing away from you. And you spent all day looking up at SpongeBob going, this is the best balloon I've ever had. Do you remember that? Well, that was the last of the fucking helium. We're all going to have one of those. Do you remember that day you were in college and you're at a committee meeting for something or at something and you're selling tickets to a ball or something and there's a girl there and you'd never seen her before, she's part of the committee you're on and you're going, oh my God, she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. Oh my God, how do I talk to her? How can I possibly say a word to this most fabulous woman? Oh, I'm so tongue-tied but I'm falling in love with her. Wait a second, I know a trick that'll impress her. They've still got those canisters there from when we did the balloons earlier. I know what I'll do. And you open the valve slightly and take a big out of the canister and you turn to her with in a high-pitched voice. And she laughed at your squeaky voice, and the laugh lit a spark, and the spark lit a flame, and you fell in love. Do you remember that? Yeah. Well, now we don't know why your headaches have come back. You, my friend, are going to have to break that to your grandkids. Fuck me, I wish I was there. I would love to be there on the day where you sit your grandkids down and explain to them how we used up the helium on squeaky voices and floaty balloons. How we used up an element. That'd be, oh, man, make it sound like an achievement, will you? Because no other animal has ever done this. No other animal, you know, there isn't a gap at the moment where beryllium used to be, right? With scientists going, well, we think that's where beryllium should be in the period. We've none of it left. Because the dinosaurs, the fucking dinosaurs, use it all up on popping candy and armpit farts. Everything is a downer now. Everything is a buzzkill. We know too much. Even stuff that used to be fun. Do you remember when booking a holiday? This would blow young people's mind. Booking a holiday used to involve going into a shop on the high street with a brochure and pointing to something, and then they'd sell it to you. Man, how crazy does that sound now? When booking a holiday involves sitting at your computer at home and opening 9 separate windows and trying to coordinate the travel and accommodation and the cheap flights and the drop-down menus and the passport details and the ESTA forms and the temporary visas, and it takes ages to do. And every family here has a drawer near the computer that has all of the passports for the family and all the dregs of currency for the last 8 years. And every time I open that drawer and look in just for a second, I'm Jason Bourne. Just for one tiny, shining moment, I'm going, I could escape. I could take these and I could be gone. That'd be magical, right? Oh, sure, there'd be an awkward moment at a frontier post with the man going, you do not look like 6-year-old girl. And I'm going, well, Sergey, it was a long flight. Here's $13 Canadian. Buy yourself something sexy.